to be here and good to see all of you come out. Always enjoy coming over here. Appreciate those kind words. Appreciate that good prayer. I like that last song that Brother Mark led there. There's a lot of meat. Listen to the song service and see what it has to say. There's a lot of good messages there and a lot of good thoughts for us. Sometimes better than the sermon. Now, I think we all realize to be a Christian, a child of God, requires we be as good as we possibly can and avoid all the sin and evil that we can. Try to be just good people. You know, we learn that sort of when we're children. You know, your parents will tell you, you know, you got to be good. The devil will get you if you don't straighten up and do better. You know, we just pretty well know it's common sense to know we got to do good. So when we're in the church, we realize that's our duty. But I think sometimes that we fail to see the need to be holy. There's more to it than just being good and abstaining from evil. But sort of like that last song that Mark led there. There's a lot of things in there that we need to do, consecrate ourselves for the work of the Lord. You ever thought of yourself as being holy? If somebody said, write down your characteristics here and just list all these things, so we sort of know, maybe if you was writing a letter to somebody and never met you, what would you put down? Would you put down on there that you were holy? Would you describe yourself as being holy? Well, we're supposed to be. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be holy. So that should be at the top of the list, really, if we was trying to tell somebody about ourselves, we should list that we are holy. At least we're striving to be. We might be just a little bit holy, but we're supposed to be adding to it. If we're not, we're definitely falling short. You know, a lot of times you read over there where it says add patience and temperance and all this, add all these virtues. Really, I think you ought to have holiness to begin with and then add from there. You know, when you come into the church and you receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, you've got holiness in you. You may not have much. You know, you may be sort of new and trying to learn, and you don't know where you are so much, and you got to add to it. But you need to start off with holiness, and I'll add all the other things that you can. But we need to have, that's the very crux of religion, I think, is the holiness. A lot of times I think it gets overlooked. It just sort of gets lost there when we're looking at what we're supposed to be doing and forget about holiness. A lot of us have attended religious services for a lot of years, most of us. And it's good. It speaks well of us, you know, to have gone to church all those years. It's a lot of good comes from that. But on the other side of the coin, a lot of times we sort of get complacent. It becomes commonplace with us to be in church. And it's just routine. We sort of get in a rut. We don't really have the zeal we had when we first came into the church. We're not focused like we used to be. And it's just sort of something we do. You know, look at the watch and say, well, it's time to go to church, you know, so let's go. Sort of the attitude we are. Sometimes we're not maybe as holy as we should be. The Bible stresses that we should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you don't start out with perfect holiness. You start out with just a little bit, as I said. But he said we need to perfect our holiness. There's a lot of things that talk about holiness. Some good reading is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. I'd like for us to read that, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Peter says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. It's plain English, isn't it? That's Peter talking there, but it's God's own words when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter's repeating something. It says, for it is written. He's repeating something that God said in the old Bible there. It's recorded. Where God said that himself, talking to the children of Israel. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, we're supposed to try to be like our Heavenly Father is what Peter's trying to get across to us. Be holy in everything that we do. We can't be holy on our own. You know, if we were never in the church and you just wanted to be holy and sanctified, you can't be without God's help. You've got to have God's help. You've got to come in the church, as I said, to receive the Holy Spirit. But you can be holy. Then God will help you, and you can be with His help. That's what Peter's trying to get across to us. So I hope maybe I convinced you so far that there is a need for a Christian to be holy and to seek holiness in their lives. There's one more scripture I want to read here that kind of goes along with that. Romans 12 and verse 1. The scripture we've heard a lot of times, probably when we read this, if you're not reading along, you can probably quote it yourself as I'm trying to read it. So much we've heard it, one that's used a lot. A lot of the scriptures we hear are used over and over. And I think a lot of times we hear it so much that we just sort of run over it and don't really realize the seriousness of it. Maybe somebody that's never heard it, you could read it to them and you might get a whole lot better response than you would reading it to me. I've heard it so much. Don't seem to have the effect that it does on somebody that hadn't heard it. We're not touched, it seems like, so much. But we ought to really take the seriousness of it. Anytime we hear a scripture, you know, people will quote John 3:16, and you know, you hear that so much that it sort of loses its effect. But when you think about it every time, what an impact it has on us, how it's the whole, you know, if it hadn't been for God giving His only Son for us, where would we be? But a lot of times, we hear it so much that it doesn't really sink in as much as it. We're the hardest ones to reach, I believe. Anyway, this is Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Anybody recognize that? Paul said this is our reasonable service to God. It's a good bit there. It's tall order when you look at it and see what it is, but it's our reasonable service. God said, you know, this is not asking much. That's what He's talking about. It may sound to us like it's above and beyond the call of duty to be holy. When you first think about it, something that you'd expect from Moses or Abraham or one of the prophets or somebody in the old Bible, you think about them being holy people, don't you? You think about David and a lot of people. And you can see where God expected them to be holy. But a lot of times we don't even think that we're in the same category as they are. But we are. Human beings, just like we are, they were children of God, just like we are. And although they may have had, at times God would talk to these people, He would talk to Moses directly. You know, and the prophets could see things, and they had powers, and they were different than we are in a lot of ways. Things were different back then. But as far as them being holy and us being holy, God expects just as much out of us today as He did then. We're supposed to be consecrated, working for God, in service to God, supposed to be holy, just as them. So like I said, it may seem to us like it's something way out there that we're not used to, and maybe we're not, but we should get used to it. The Hebrew word for holy says that which is sanctified or set apart for divine service. And he mentioned that in a song that Mark led there, talking about service. In Exodus 29 and 9, God instructed Moses to consecrate Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. Consecrate them. He said, He didn't just say, have them to go in there, and, you know, certain, and he does this and this and this, and this is what they do. They fulfill these rituals. He said, consecrate them for service. They were supposed to be holy. They were supposed to show reverence to God and do it the way it was supposed to be. Not just anybody could be in the priesthood. So, God has always expected holiness from His people. In Mark 6 and 20, talking about King Herod here and John the Baptist, Mark 6 and 20, it says that Herod feared John the Baptist, knowing that he was a just and holy man. In those days, kings had all authority. They could just, if they wanted somebody dead, they could just, at the drop of a hat, they could have somebody killed. They had all authority. They could do what they wanted to. So most everybody feared the king. But in this case, King Herod feared John the Baptist, knowing that he was a holy man. When you think about that, a king really actually being afraid of somebody because he was a man of God and he was so holy. If we're holy enough, if we had been in that day, would King Herod been afraid of us? I wonder if he would have feared me. Would I have been holy enough? I put it another way, maybe if holiness was a crime today, if it was against the law to be holy, would they find enough evidence on me to convict me? Something to think about. Herod might not have noticed this. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have been holy enough to. It's hard to, when you try to think about putting yourself in the same category as John. You always feel down here. John the Baptist and all the prophets and all were up here. As I say, we have a hard time seeing that we're in the same category as they are. But we shouldn't look at it like that. But if we'd have been there, King Herod should have looked at us and said, well, these are Christians. They go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Sunday night. Bible. Well, they've got Bibles and they're going to church. They appear to be Christians. The Christians are putting on a good front. That's what Herod would have had to thought, I guess. But are we really as good a Christian as we're supposed to be? Are we holy enough? You know, it reminds me of a story I heard. I think it's a true story. I'm not sure. A fellow years ago, a fellow was an artist, and he was passing out $20 bills, counterfeit $20 bills. And they caught him, I think, because the ink was in the rain. It got a little wet and it started just melting and running. But to look at it, it looked identical like a $20 bill. So they caught him. They went to his place and searched. And they found there where he'd been sitting there painting these $20 bills. And you can imagine all the little markings and all the little detail work that goes into a $20 bill. He didn't have a printing press. He was doing it with a brush. He was painting it. He was a painter, a master painter. He had to be very, very good to do this. I know I could never even come close. I'm not an artist. He had to be very good to boot. Anyway, they caught him, put him in jail, and they sold. He had some paintings there that he had painted other than the $20 bills. And he sold three of them. It said that they brought in excess of $16,000. This was years ago. It was a lot of money. $20 was a lot of money. Three paintings brought in excess of $16,000. Point being, they said it took him as long, if not longer, to paint the $20 bill as it did these paintings that sold for over $5,000 each. You know, the point we need to see is a lot of times we can spend enough time going to church and playing Christians that we could actually go ahead and really be holy Christians. It wouldn't take much effort. If you live a double life, you try and look like a Christian, and you're not really doing all that you should do, and you're trying to fool everybody, it's harder work, really. He put harder work in there trying to fool people when he could have made money. But, you know, I've seen it, you've seen it too with people in school. I've gone to school with folks, and they go to school 12 years and ride the bus and got your books and all, and they look like students, don't they? But really, they cheat themselves. The teacher says, cheating yourself. If you don't get an education, it's not going to hurt me, it's going to hurt you. Same with religion, we're cheating ourselves. If I fooled you from now on and I look like a Christian from now on, you may think I'm holy from now on, and I'm not. I'm the loser. It doesn't cost you anything, does it? So that was the way this guy was. So we really ought to put our heart into it. Anything worth doing is worth doing right, the old saying says. So we should try to be holy. It's emphasized all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. We should grow into God's likeness, and then the New Testament says be like Jesus on and on. There's so many scriptures that tells us that. Paul's prayer for the saints at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13, he says this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 12 and 13. Paul says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end you may establish unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Talking about holiness again, trying to tell. What do you think keeps us from being holy? If we're not holy enough, what do you think the reason is that we're not? Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, you could say a lot of things maybe keep us from being holy if we're not. But But I think the tendency to be worldly sums it all up. You know, you can put a lot of things right there. If we're worldly, it covers a lot of territory. And I think it's humanistic just to want to be worldly. We grow up in this world, and all of our ties are here. All our parents, grandparents, friends, everybody we know, everything we've ever been associated with is in this world, and we hold on to this world, and we hard not to become worldly. It's our biggest enemy because it separates us from God. You know, it's very important that we accept and know and understand this world's not our home. You notice the leaves lately? Y'all seen the leaves? We went up to Cheehaw last weekend. They said that in this area it's supposed to have been the peak of the color of the leaves. And they were real pretty. They're red and orange and brown and gold and green. You got a whole mixture there. And they're pretty. When the sun shines on the leaves, they're beautiful. But you know, the reason they are, of course we know the reason they're changing colors, is they're dying. Leaves are just short-lived. They're here for a short while and they're gone. We saw some today. We was going down to the hospital there to see Julia's uncle. And we made mention of it. It looked like snow. Wind was blowing the leaves and they just come across the road. I mean, it's just full. You couldn't hardly see the road for the leaves. They're going away. They're dying. You know, flowers don't last very long at all. They die. It tells us all, nature all around us, this is a temporary world. Temporary. Here just for a short season and it's gone. We're getting older every day. Us of our own death. We see death all around. But we can't hardly accept this. We always think it's going to be somebody else. We put it in the back of our mind or something. I don't know what it is. We don't really seriously think about our own selves apart in this world. We want to hold on to this world for as long as we can. We fight it with everything we've got to stay on. We love this world. We miss the point. It's hard for us to come to terms with it sometimes. But I said, it's just human nature to want to be with all of our folks and friends and everything here. So we don't give enough attention and dedication and consecration to serving the Lord. We're not heavenly minded. We should be focused on heaven and forget about this world. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto him." We're going to be changed from this old body into a glorious body, is what he's saying. And that's what we're looking forward to. Old body, and try to keep it as healthy and good as we can. We'll get out and jog and do everything we can to try to live as long as we possibly can. And it's getting older every day. It's a losing battle. No way we can win that battle. That we're going to die. Maybe if we read and studied on the scriptures like this more often, we might not be so worldly. Might be more mindful of everything that's come. The world is temporary. We're here just for a short time. The very longest we're here for a short time. The way we might think of it is we're just visitors. If we look at it in that respect, we're just visitors, maybe strangers somewhere. And it's true, you know, if we're really holy Christians and we're dedicated to God, then we're, the Bible tells us, separate and apart from other people. We are strangers, really. If we're really consecrated and holy, dedicated to God, then we're strangers here. We don't fit in with the world. We're sojourners, that's a word that the Bible uses. That means a temporary resident. You know, if you had somebody come over to Japan, they're just going to stay through the summer or through the winter or whatever. They're sojourners. And that's what we really ought to look at it as. We're sojourners. We're just passing through here trying to get to heaven. 1 Peter 1 and 17 talks about that. 1 Peter 1 and 17. "If you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. He said, while you're just passing through here, fear God. Because you're a sojourner, it's what you are. You're temporary, you're not going to be here long. Fear God while you're here. We can't love this world. You know, you might think, well, God made this beautiful world. You know, it's pretty. When you look at nature, you look at the water, the ocean, the mountains, the trees, all the things that God made, when you look at it, it's pretty. And you think to yourself, well, why would God not want us to love this? He made this for us. Why wouldn't He want us to love it? Well, don't get me wrong. God wants us to appreciate it, of course. But He wants us to love Him. Love the Creator, not the creation. This is only a drop in the bucket to what heaven's going to be. We don't need to get too caught up in this. This is just a sort of a proving ground for us to get to heaven. And we get tied up with this and we forget about heaven. And you know, God has to be shaking His head when He looks down and sees us so caught up in this little world. And He's telling us, this up here is so much more. Don't love this world. He said, just worship Me and you can be up here. And we miss that. You ever catch yourself saying, I love this old whatever, this belonged to Grandma and she passed it down, this old watch, this old clock, this old car, whatever this is, I love this. Money can't buy this. You ever heard anybody say that? They've had things, money can't buy this. I just love this. You know, I really think we need to be very, very careful with that, because that's, if everybody has to decide for themselves. If it doesn't say this is a sin, black and white, then I'm not going to get up here and say, because I don't know. But it's borderline sin if it's not sin to make a statement like that. I'd be very careful just saying how much I love something of this world, something like that. I don't know how God would, I don't think God would appreciate it. 1 John chapter 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pretty well tells it, don't it? Don't love the world. If you love the world, you don't really love the Father. We've got to choose, don't we? We've got to choose whether or not to love this world or love the Father. Another way we might look at it is, I was talking about being strangers here. You might look at it like we're enemies, living in enemy-occupied territory. Like if we was over in Afghanistan or something over there, you know, how we'd feel. We're really the way we ought to feel down here. If we're really holy and dedicated to God, we're just out of place. We're in the wrong place. We're sort of like, because most of the people in the world are not in the church, so it is enemy-occupied territory. The devil rules a lot of the world because people allow it. It may sound strange to put it like that, but you know, that's pretty much the way it was with Jesus. He pretty much had enemies all around Him, and he did not do one thing wrong, nothing wrong at all. Never sinned, never harmed anybody, didn't do anybody any injustice, and he had enemies all around him. He didn't get comfortable in this world, did he? This world didn't mean anything to him. You know, the Bible tells us that the foxes have their holes to go into and the birds of the air have their nest. But it said Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. That's not exact quote, but we've all read that. Don't you know Jesus could have had a place to lay his head if he'd wanted to? The world didn't mean anything to him. This didn't bother him at all. He didn't want this world. He had seen heaven, if you think about it. You couldn't have got Jesus to accept anything down here. He'd seen heaven, he knowed full well. We have to trust and on our faith, but he knew full well. You know, when the devil led him up into the wilderness there trying to tempt him, he couldn't tempt him. He was trying to tempt him. But you know, Jesus had fasted for about a month there. And so he had to be pretty weak physically at the time. I'd never gone without food a month. I don't know what it would be like if I could even live that long. But you can imagine he would have had been pretty weak after fasting for a month. So the devil figured right then he's pretty vulnerable. He could probably get to him. He said, command that these stones be made bread. If you worship me, I'll give you all this. They were up on top of a mountain. He was showing him all sorts of stuff that he would give him. Jesus didn't even consider that. It's a dropping. It's nothing. It's nothing. It didn't faze him at all. He could never have gotten weak enough for the devil to got to him. And sometimes, you know, we're tempted with a whole lot less than the devil tempted Jesus with, and we fall for it so many times. We'll fall for a few dollars where Jesus turned down the whole world. It's because we're not holy enough, we're not consecrated, and we're not heavenly minded. We're not setting our affections on things in heaven. We're too caught up in this world. And the devil gets to us a lot of times. You know, we forget that this world's temporary, don't we? You know, we've read the story about the rich man and how he was successful, you know, just kept making more and more and more and more, and his barns were full, and he was going to tear the barns down and build bigger ones. What did God say to him? Call him a fool, didn't he? He said, "You're a fool." He said, "What if your soul is required of you tonight?" And he's talking to them. We ought to always make it, you know, we're not the rich man tearing down a barn, but he's talking to us as well, you know. What if our soul is required of us tonight? Are we greedy and thinking about what all we can do, and if we could we build bigger barns? Are we worldly? I hope not. God called him a fool because none of it matters. None of it means anything. The only thing that means anything is to go into heaven. And we're going to have to be holy to get there. Not just avoid some of the 7 or 8 of the commandments, but we've got to be holy too. We've got to be consecrated service to God. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. It's good advice. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Be good to just, you know, sometimes when we were maybe found ourselves being greedy and we was looking at this world too much and counting too much on the world, if we just read that verse there and concentrate on it, we'd be more inclined to be holy, I think, if we'd look at it like that. That's what we need to try to do, is try to be more holy and concentrated to God, and just keep that in our minds all the time. I'm going to leave, I think, that pretty much sums it all up. If you couldn't read but one verse, this one verse would be enough. I heard Harry one time, he was talking about whatever point he was trying to prove. There wasn't a lot of scripture there to prove it. It was just one little verse is all it was. He didn't have, you know, you can keep referencing a lot of things. You can find there's more than you want to read on some subjects. You can just keep on and on and on, and you can probably read the scripture for an hour. But whatever it was, the point he was trying to make, there's only one verse in the Bible. And he said, you know, if you had 99 black cows out here and you had one white cow, he said, you don't have 100 black cows. You know, he said, that one cow, he said, you've got to notice it. This one verse right here, like I said, if you didn't have it, this one verse in the whole Bible, it's enough. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it ought to cause us all to want to be holy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I think it sums it up pretty good. That's my lesson. I appreciate your attention tonight. Enjoyed coming over. If anyone here desires the services of the church, for whatever reason, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.